Welcome to Absolutely Crushed, the show where your hosts, Matthew Bischoff, that's me, and Sid Anderson, gossip with a guest about their biggest celebrity or character crush and dive into all the juicy details.
This week, we're talking to Kate Sloan about her crush on Jane Lane from the animated TV show Daria.
Kate Sloan is a sex writer and podcaster. She's reviewed over 300 sex toys on her blog at girlyjuice.net, written the books 101 Kinky Things Even You Can Do and 200 Words to Help You Talk About Sexuality and Gender, and she co-hosts the podcast The Dildorks and Question Box. Oh, also, she is my wife. Hi, Kate.
Hello. Nice to be here.
Nice to have you.
All right, so we start every single episode with one of the 36 questions to fall in love from the New York Times. So before we start talking about your crush on Jane Lane, the question is, if you could wake up tomorrow having gained any one quality or ability, what would it be?
This is tough because I imagine most people would choose something fantastical and magical, but my first thought was just to learn another language fluently. I just think that would be super useful. I've often wished that I knew American Sign Language, or maybe I would want to know Italian or something cool where I could do work in other languages. I don't know if that's like a boring answer, but
no, that's awesome.
Not at all. No. I feel like the tough part there is picking which language, because like if you could just instantly learn any language, I would be tempted to pick one that's really hard and notoriously difficult to learn. But also like you want to think about what's useful too.
But I mean, you already learned Latin, which is notoriously difficult and not useful. So
yeah, true. It's true. I was younger then. I didn't really think it through. But yeah, I also feel like most people would go the route of picking something impossible, like invisibility or flight or something. And it's sort of refreshing to just pick something that you could actually gain that quality or ability if you wanted.
I feel like when I was younger, I would have said either invisibility at will or the ability to read people's minds. And now I've matured and I'm like, first of all, people deserve their privacy. And secondly, like, I'm going to find out stuff I don't want to know if I have either of those powers. So probably better to leave them alone.
What if it was mind reading, but only consensual mind reading?
Ooh, that's hot.
It's hot and it's also more useful because I think like if you want to read somebody's mind in like a, I don't know, like a high stakes situation, it would be good if they knew that you could read it. But yeah, I think that's good. I like the learning a new language. I think that's really, I'm trying to learn German right now. It's not going well. I don't have the brain for languages, but.
German seems really hard.
Are you doing Duolingo or what?
I am, yeah. I'm doing Duolingo, and I getting an iPad cured my ADHD, so I've been really good at it for the last 2 days.
Nice. Congrats.
Amazing. The streak is 2 days.
That's why they call it Duolingo.
That was great. That was
exactly. Exactly. So I had never seen the show where your crush appears, this MTV show Daria. So for other folks who haven't seen it, can you just tell us a little bit about the show and how you started watching it?
Yes, I'm actually surprised given how many shows that I loved in my youth I've forced you to watch with me, such as The L Word and The OC.
It's true.
But this is one we've never gotten around to. And Daria was a show made by MTV starting in the 90s, and it's about teenagers, but it's specifically about kind of like disaffected, sarcastic, nihilistic teenagers and looking at high school through that kind of nihilistic lens, which I think is very appropriate to that period, but also feels very relevant to me now. And I first discovered it because for most of my youth, my mom was an entertainment reporter at a local TV station. And so she would get all kinds of free media sent to her, which is actually how I discovered a lot of my favorite like musical artists at that time and movies I really loved. And she had received a VHS that was like a preview for the press of Daria. And it had a couple of the first episodes as well as like a concept film that they made before they actually made the series. And even though I think I was like 8 or 9 when I watched this, and the show's about teenagers, but I really resonated with it and related to a lot of the characters and became a fan. And then eventually when I had access to like the internet and credit cards, I was able to like buy and watch the whole series when I was a teen. And I just think it's really good. I think it's like one of the funniest shows about teenagers that I've ever seen.
It's got this like really dry sense of humor.
Yeah.
Like the joke, there are a lot of laughs, but it's not like hitting you over the head with the comedy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Daria was a spinoff character from Beavis and Butthead, which is really weird because like that show had such a loud, immature sense of humor in my view. I mean, I haven't watched a ton of it, but that was how I always saw it. And Daria is so low-key and so deadpan that it makes sense she would be a good contrast with those characters. But also it's really interesting to see how they developed it into a whole show.
Yeah, I had also never seen it. It's been like one of those shows that I feel like I always see like stills from, or like I did a lot when I was in like on Tumblr. I feel like I saw a lot of stills from Daria and I always wanted to watch it but never did. And it was definitely like, I think it was what I expected it to be. I don't know how else to explain it. I was like, just like based on like looking at the characters and like what I knew about it, I was like, yeah, this definitely tracks. And it was good. It was funny. It was, I don't know if I'll watch more of it. Like, I feel like there was some like, not even the show, but like I watched it on Paramount, but yeah.
Paramount
and
Plus.
They still have the like bumpers in there from when it was on live MTV. And yeah, they're so funny because they literally just show you exactly what has just happened as if you had, it's just like little like stills of exactly what's happened, which is very funny, but it definitely was a good show.
What did you feel like coming back to it and watching so we watched two episodes, the first episode, the pilot, and an episode from season 5 called Art Burn, which is episode 7 in the 5th season. What did you feel like coming back to these? Do you feel like it held up for you?
Yeah, I was laughing out loud watching them. I chose these episodes because Art Burn in season 5 is very focused on Jane. She's usually more of a sidekick type of character, but that is an episode that's basically about her. And I wanted to also pick the pilot because then you see how Daria and Jane actually meet and sort of become best friends really quickly. And I really think both of these episodes hold up and are extremely funny. And it made me want to go rewatch the entire series, which frankly, I probably will do.
Awesome. So yeah, as you pointed out, like your crush, Jane Lane, is not the main character of the series, but befriends the main character very, very early on in episode 1. Could you tell us about your crush, about Jane? Who is she? What's her deal?
Yeah, Jane is a gorgeous, sardonic, deadpan, artsy weirdo who meets our protagonist, Daria, in a self-esteem class, which is basically like mandated extracurricular that they both have to take because they, among other people at the school, score very low on psychological tests for self-esteem. And I think that's like, first of all, a really bold thing to do in a show for teenagers. Like, I think that's really relevant and really relatable. But Jane serves as a foil for Daria in a lot of episodes of the series because Daria is closer to who I see myself as, and Jane is who I more aspirationally would like to be, because Daria is like very sort of shut down emotionally. She has a very hard time connecting with people because she's always standing at a distance and judging people. But she also seems socially anxious in a lot of situations and doesn't seem to really be able to go after what she wants. Whereas Jane is an artist. She's very passionate. She's a very emotive person. She thinks very creatively. She has big dreams. And she also has that sort of like deadpan wit that Daria has, which is why they connect. And they both have this blasé, nihilistic view of the world. But Jane, I think, is more in the world. Like, she's participating in the world in a way that Daria just isn't. And I think that in that way, she kind of helps to push Daria out of her comfort zone a lot of the time.
Can you tell us more about the first time you watched this show? So you mentioned that your mom brought home like press stuff for it, but like, do you remember like noticing Jane in the show, or like when's the first time you've like really noticed it and like, or noticed her, and how old for you?
Yeah, I don't think I was aware right away that I had a crush on Jane, because this was like years before I came out as bi or like even entertained the notion that I might be into people other than men. But I definitely felt drawn to the show in a way that I now recognize as like there was some crushiness involved in that. I do also think that the sense of humor of the show and the perspective of the show really drew me to it, because I was always kind of like a depressive, anxious weirdo, mm-hmm. even as a kid. And I really enjoyed seeing characters who shared a lot of those traits, but were still having these like zany adventures and forming friendships. And I remember I was watching that VHS at a family party one time. I don't know why this happened, but a bunch of the kids were watching it together, including like my older like teenager cousin, and who was like 15 or 16, and I was like 9. And she was like, do you mind if I borrow this sometime? This show's really cool. And I was like, sure, yeah. And I felt like I was like a tastemaker for teenagers at like age 9.
That's amazing. Yeah. You had all the cool was it VHS or DVD?
It was definitely VHS.
VHS, yeah, all the cool VHSs.
Yep.
Speaking of the bisexuality angle, I know that you're a big fan fiction consumer and also have written a bunch of fan fiction as well. And it came up in my research on this character that like one of the most common fan fiction stereotypes is to make her a lesbian in fan fiction. In the show, she only dates boys, I believe. But do you think there's sort of an implied queerness in her characterization? Do you see why that happens?
So I have thought about this at great length. Textually, Jane only ever describes herself as being straight or being into guys. However, there was like a movie. There was actually two movies that they made after the conclusion of the series that were like Daria movies. And in one of them, she goes to sort of like an art camp, art colony type of thing, and she meets this older woman who it turns out is bi, who is another artist, and they become friends. And this woman one night just like aggressively hits on Jane and kind of just assumes that they've been flirting this whole time. And Jane says, no, like I'm straight, I'm into guys. And this woman says, well, I'm never wrong about this. Like basically she says, like, I can always tell. So maybe
perfect gaydar.
Right. So maybe you just haven't realized that you're into girls yet. And we see Jane being shaken up by this, and she says in a later scene that she felt confused by this, but she never really explains like why exactly she felt, like in what ways she felt confused. And the two of them have sort of a makeup conversation where the other woman says, like, maybe I was wrong. I shouldn't have assumed that about you. But we never really get a firm statement from Jane on like what she took away from that experience. And
right.
I do read her as like undiscovered, closeted bi. Like, I do think that's there. I also think her whole look is pretty queer-coded, even taking into consideration that this was sort of like the 90s grunge era when that was kind of the look.
Yeah.
And I think that there's a lot of fan fiction about Daria and Jane, and I don't tend to read Daria fan fiction because I think that the voice of these characters is so specific, it's really hard for writers to get it right. Although now that you've said that, I do kind of want to write Daria fan.
Yeah, it's waiting for you.
Yeah.
It's waiting for you to get it right. That's the problem.
Yeah, I might be the one to bring voice to bi Jane. Do you think she seems bi? What's your take on it, y'all?
I mean, if I saw this today, I would be like, yeah, that character is bi. If I kept watching it, it was just like she's always straight.
No,
like,
but like I wonder also right. like how much of it is just like people who are bi like resonating with the character. Like, I wonder, like, how much of it is just, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not necessarily, like, I mean, I think she is bi. Like, I, especially, like, based on what, you, like, the story you just told about, like, from the movie, like, it sounds like there's, like, something. Mm-hmm. But, like, I think also a lot of queer people tend to be more, this is very generalizing, but, like, there are queer people who tend to be more artistic and are, like, would resonate with mm-hmm. that character. And I think that also could be part of it. And then also she's dressed like 90s grunge, which is also how.
Yeah. Let's talk about the outfit.
I love it
so much. Describe her signature look. Walk us through it.
Yes.
How has it influenced your style, if it has at all?
Okay, so things to know about me. I have dressed as Jane for Halloween, and I have brought a picture of Jane to my hairdresser and said, this, please. Yes. So I am a fan of her look. But basically, she usually wears this like dark red button-up shirt worn open with a black t-shirt underneath, and she wears black shorts with black tights underneath and these knee-high black Doc Martens, which is the reason I bought knee-high black Doc Martens when I was a teen. Like, I love them so much. And then, crucially, she usually wears dark red lipstick that matches the shirt that she has on, and she has this incredible angular black hair, just this really cool asymmetrical bob that to me immediately communicates like, this is an artistic person. This is a person who cares about how she presents herself, even if she pretends that she doesn't.
It's such a confident look.
It really is. And there's something about like, I feel like I usually am not like, I don't know. I feel like the like shorts and tights look is really hit or miss, but it looks so like, it looks so good on her. Like, I don't know. I was like, oh, Like, I feel like I've like seen people who like, she can like pull it off. And I'm like, it's so good. And like her hair is so like, yeah, she like clearly cares about what she wears, and the lipstick and the flannel or the button up. Like it's, yeah, she's definitely like one of the hottest characters on the show.
And the voice. What about the voice?
He doesn't know what it means. He's got the speech memorized. Just enjoy the nice man's soothing voice.
The voice is so good. And one of the things I find most interesting about Daria is that the woman who voices Jane, Wendy Hoops, also does the voices of Daria's sister Quinn, who has a very high-pitched sort of teenage Valley Girl vibes voice. And also Daria's mom, Helen, who has kind of this... like upper middle class white lady voice. And all three of those are done by the same woman, and they are very distinct. Like, I don't think you would necessarily know that if you didn't know that. But Jane has this like sort of low pitched vocal fry, sardonic, deadpan voice that is very hot.
Yeah, it's great. It's one of the things that definitely drew me to the character. Have you followed Wendy Hoops through any other media? Has the voice caused you to look into any of her other movies or shows?
I've checked out what she's doing. She has a cameo now, and I have considered getting her to perhaps say something to me as Jane. But then I'm like, is that weird? Because I would definitely be into it on some level, and that seems wrong. But also, like, there are tons of people doing that on Cameo, so I don't really know what the ethics of that are.
Kind of the point of Cameo. It's the whole reason why it exists. I think you're fine. If people sign up for it, I think you're fine.
But like,
to take advantage of it.
What would I want Jane to say to me? Like, I don't even know.
Well, that's a good question in itself. Maybe some kind of affirmation.
Like,
some kind of, like when you're having a bad day.
You are beautiful. Inside and out.
So there you go.
This is just a question. I don't know. Because since we've only watched... Does she smoke? Does Jane smoke? She really strikes me as the type of person who smokes. I don't know why. You know what I mean? Like, she has big, like, should have a cigarette energy.
I don't recall her smoking. I feel like maybe her older brother Trent smokes. Mm. And I forget how much Trent there was in these episodes. Yeah. But Jane's older brother is, like, this, like, rock star burnout who becomes one of Daria's crushes. And the combination of Jane and Trent, I really love. It reminds me of my brother and I. But yeah, I don't think she smokes. I think one of the things that was interesting to me about Daria and Jane is like, they seem, well, specifically Jane seems like really cool to me anyway, but they're both kind of dorks. Like, socially at school, they're basically regarded as dorks, and they seem to spend a lot of their time like inside watching TV together and just hanging out. Like, they're not like the most social people in the world. And I like,
unlike us, the cool people doing a podcast. we're not like them at all.
No, but I relate because they're cool dorks.
Right.
They're both at once.
Yeah,
and I think that this show really modeled that. And maybe that's why I was drawn to it.
No, I also definitely like resonate with their relationship. And they're like just like hanging out, watching TV. But like, and not like, I don't know, like the isolated togetherness of it, I feel like. The like, yeah. And the apathy towards school. Yeah.
Another piece of Jane trivia is that her first serious romantic relationship is with a character named Tom Sloan.
Yes.
Do you think a character having basically the same last name as you makes your chances better or worse? And have you ever dated anyone with the same name as one of your exes?
Whoa. Interesting. Well, I did once go on a few dates with someone who had the same name as my brother. It's not really the same
name. Okay, that counts.
That was weird, and I almost sent some ill-advised sexts once to the wrong person. And
no. No.
No, I don't think I've dated anyone with the same name as my exes, but I think that Jane would like me better than she liked Tom, because Tom is like kind of this weird character who comes in later in the series and who initially dates Jane, and then he doesn't end up being very compatible with her, and they break up, and then he sort of starts dating Daria, and it becomes this like weird competition or like weird rift in their friendship, which
that seems to happen a lot with them. There's a lot of drama.
Yeah, but I think that it's like it's very queer coded to me. Like it reminds me a lot of times in high school when like two girls would be really pissed off at each other and it would seem as if maybe that's because you're like into each other a little bit. Like the intensity of what happened between Jane and Daria as a result of both of them dating Tom was like way more noticeable than any chemistry either of them had with Tom. Like he just sort of was like this boring rich boy who was like just witty enough to make both of them laugh. But I think really what's interesting to me about that relationship is that it made them look at their own friendship and think about it harder.
I can see the foundations of the fan fiction coming together in front of my eyes.
I know. There's a lot.
It's all there.
Yeah, it's a rich text.
So do you tell people about this crush? Like, have you told people? And like, what's their reaction when you talk to them about it, if you have?
It doesn't come up a lot, but if for some reason the show Daria ever comes up in conversation, I pretty much immediately, if the person says that they have watched it, will be like, oh my God, Jane is the best. Jane is my favorite character. And usually they would reply, oh my God, me too. She's the best. I don't know if she's like broadly considered the best character, but to me, she is the best character without question. And yeah, I'm very open about it. And I do think she's one of those like bi-con characters, like Olivia Wilde's character on the mm-hmm. OC, who like there's a certain generation of bisexual who will be like, oh, yep, I had a crush on her for sure. That was
my awakening,
a guiding influence for me.
Yeah. Before we jump into the episodes in more detail, I wanted to show you this image that the show's creator and the original character designer did for the 20th anniversary. This is sort of like a "Where is she now?" Image, and they wrote an explanation of sort of you know, her career and where she is. But I kind of just want you to interpret this. I think your answer will be better than the canon answer.
I haven't seen this. Yeah. So in this image, this rendering, she is noticeably older. There's like a gray or white streak in her hair, and she's changed her haircut to kind of like an undercut situation, which I think is a point in the column of she turns out to be queer, but who knows?
Right.
And she's got kind of this looser outfit on that's very sort of performance artist or something. She's still got her signature lipstick. She's still got her signature smirk. But she's changed up the look. She looks like she's a thriving, successful artist. Like, this isn't a person who had to give up and join the office brigade. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a person who managed to stick with what she did, because you wouldn't be able to dress like this if you were working in a cubicle. And she looks, you know, confident in herself and happy, and this is what I want for her.
I feel like your crush would age with this character beautifully. The official answer, it basically lines up with that. She's a professional artist who sold a few pieces, though hasn't made it big. She lives in Soho with her husband, who's an archaeologist, and rarely home. Mm. And so she gets to spend plenty of time with her bestie.
That makes sense. I feel like Jane is bi, even if she has a husband. I refuse to let go of this headcanon.
Oh, yeah.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
All right, should we get into the episodes?
Yeah, let's do it. So the first one we watched was Esteemers. Do you want to give us a summary of what happened in that episode? I think we kind of touched on a little bit in the beginning, but...
Yeah, sure. So this is the pilot episode of the show, and Daria and her family have just moved to a different city. It's actually more of a suburb. And we begin with like going to school with Daria and her sister Quinn on the first day of school. And Daria is like really apathetic about the idea of meeting new people. She like doesn't seem to really want to go to school. Whereas Quinn is like always effortlessly popular and sociable and basically makes friends instantly as soon as she gets there. And then Daria has to take, everyone has to take this psychological test. As part of, I guess, like their orientation into the school, which is strange. But also, I think
weird.
that yeah. did happen, like, especially around that time. And Daria is identified as having low self-esteem, and so she has to take this extracurricular class. And it's taught by Mr. O'Neill, who is just this, like, nice doormat of a person who's
nice,
like...
Nice but ineffective.
Yeah, he's not a very good teacher, but he's very funny. He has a lot of funny plot lines later in the show. But he's basically not teaching them anything. They already know that, like, their self-esteem should be better. But the problem is, like, there's not that much that this particular class can do to improve that. And in the class, she makes friends with Jane, who has taken the class, I think she says, like, 5 times before or something like that. And they're just fast friends. They relate to each other. They make each other laugh. And... they end up deciding to use the answers that Jane has to the graduation test from the class, because she's taken it so many times, she already knows what the answers are, to get out of the class early so that they can go to an extraterrestrials convention, some kind of sci-fi convention together. And I just think this episode sets up a lot of the characters really nicely, and more importantly to me, like, really shows you why these two characters meet and connect. And I just really love their friendship. I think it's beautiful.
Yeah, they become friends super duper quickly. And I don't think that's just because it's a TV show. I think that there is something that, like, really draws them together. And you see it in the later episode. Have you ever had a friendship that formed like this quickly and easily with someone? What was that? Was that like?
Yeah, it reminds me of my friendship with my best friend Bex, who I co-host the Dildorks with, because we met at a sex bloggers convention where there was, I think, about 8 different sex bloggers who were there. And I'd
it's
seen
basically an extraterrestrial convention.
It's, it's very similar.
Essentially the same thing.
Yes. We're using the antennas for different purposes. But yeah, I had seen a lot of Bex's tweets and I had really liked a lot of his takes on things. I thought we really agreed about a lot of things, but we hadn't met in person. And we talked and connected at that event. And then a few months later, we were at a sex conference together and we both had a crush on the same guy and we had a threesome together with that guy. And our friendship was cemented. Like, it was just so clear to us both. That, I mean, it was so funny because we actually totally skipped the phase of just being friends. We skipped right to best friend. Like, that is the label we immediately went to, which is so amazing when it happens. And I think you see it happen with Jane and Daria here. It's really cute.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's also a lot of, like, I feel like when you're in high school, if you're in the same class as one other person who has the same mentality of you, it's like, oh, we're automatically best friends. Like, yeah. I feel like that happened to me a lot in high school where I, like, would be in a class with someone and, like, it's like, okay, clearly we're the only 2 people on the same page here. So we're, this is what it, like, it happened, like, when I just started talking to someone in one of my grad school classes and I'm like, yeah, okay, we're definitely friends now. We've talked for literally like 24 hours and I'm like, yep, we're the only 2 people on the same page about what's happening. So it's
us versus the
yeah,
world.
Yeah, us versus literally everyone else.
Yep.
So how was your high school experience compared to this high school experience? Like, do you feel like very similar to how Jane and Daria feel, or like, were you very popular? I don't know. What was your high school experience like?
That's a really good question. Yeah. So my middle school experience was definitely worse than my high school experience in terms of, like, there being a social hierarchy and caring about popularity and stuff. And there was definitely bullying, including, like, low key biphobic bullying. But high school for me was a different story because I got into an arts high school. So it was really just a bunch of weirdos. Like, it was a school full of Janes and Darias, which is the dream. But that may be part of why I find this show entertaining, because they really depict a lot of, like, classic high school stereotypes. You have the jocks and the nerds and the cheerleaders and the popular girls and the dorky girls. And, there's something about it that, like, really crystallizes all of those tropes in a way that's, like, so sharpened and so funny. But it also kind of makes you think about the absurdity of that social hierarchy and how, like, a lot of the smartest and most interesting people are not considered cool or popular or worth spending time with. And you very much see that in the series. And I think I found it relatable because it's just so clearly trying to get you on the side of the dorks and nerds and weirdos. And I love that. But yeah, how did this show remind either of you of your high school experiences, if at all?
I did stage crew in high school. So I was obviously very cool and popular. I went to a really large high school. We had 4,000 kids in freshman through senior year. Wow. So about 1,000 kids in a grade. Like, I walked at graduation and there were kids who walked across that stage who I had never talked to, let alone even really seen, which was wild. But so, like, I feel like the social hierarchy at my high school is very different. Like, it was, there were hierarchies within groups. But like, I always was at the bottom, which I'm fine with. Like, I had really good friends and like was friends with people in the theater department but we were like our own little group, like, and we would hang out, and like, I had some friends who were like 2 years older than me who I loved hanging out with. And like, we would just like sit in a basement and like watch YouTube videos and do stuff like that, which I feel like is very, like, it really reminded me of being in high school. And it was a very pleasant thing to be reminded of.
Yeah, I mean, my high school had some other things going on. It was a Catholic school. It was a quote-unquote all-boys school. So there was a lot of sportsing, and there was a lot of hierarchy. I was also in theater in high school, and so I related to this sort of separate world that they've built with each other, and finding your true friends and your true group to hang out with.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what else was interesting in here. I thought this line when Jane is talking about this class that she's taken a bunch of times, the self-esteem class that she's taken a bunch of times. She says she could pass the test to get out of it, but she likes having low self-esteem, makes her feel special. How do you take that?
So the way she delivers it is very sort of sarcastic and funny, but I think that line really taps into something that is very fundamental for a lot of teenagers, and that I definitely relate to as well, which is the idea of, like, if you're sort of the depressed, tortured, anxious weirdo, that is in some way cool or glamorous. And I think that Jane and Daria both sort of cling on to this idea that even though these other kids might be more popular, more like socially successful, whatever that means, that they are ultimately like smarter, and that's ultimately more important. And I definitely relate to that idea. And it reminds me of, I forget who it is who said, like, anybody who's smart basically like will tend to be more depressed and more nihilistic because they see what's actually going on with the world. And I think that's the perspective this show takes. And it is weird to me that Jane has taken the self-esteem class so many times, because it just seems like it would be boring after a while. But I also think there could be something comforting about that when you've done it that many times and like, you know what that class is going to be like, and you know the kinds of kids who are going to be in that class, and you're just like comfortable having that identity as like this person with low self-esteem.
Yeah, it kind of feels to me like she was kind of waiting to make a friend in this place. Mm. She, like, it was predictable. She could be good at it, and maybe she would find someone else who shared a part of her worldview or a part of her nihilism by hanging out with the depressed kids. And I think that's basically what happened.
It's like purgatory.
Yeah.
This show reminds me a lot of Freaks and Geeks. Like, has the same energy. I haven't watched that show in a while. I really want to watch it again. But it has the same energy, and it gave me the same, like, feelings of, like, being in high school again and, like, being around people who, like, I don't know. I feel like being on Tumblr in, like, I just got a notification that my Tumblr is apparently 10 years old, which was something I didn't want to confront, because that means it's been 10 years since I was a freshman in high school, which feels like forever ago. But it, like, I don't know, especially like being on Tumblr, I feel like on Tumblr I surrounded myself with a lot of people who were very like nihilistic and very like I don't know, it just felt very, you know what I mean? Like, it feels like I was very much, I wanted to be like surround myself with people who also were like low self-esteem and nihilistic.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jane's Tumblr would be incredible.
Oh,
so
many, yeah.
So much great art.
Yeah.
Good poetry.
I do want to say, so I watched this with Quinn, my girlfriend, and it is really funny to watch this show with Quinn because her sister's name is Quinn in the show. Mm-hmm. Daria's sister's name is Quinn. And it was just very funny to make fun of my girlfriend every time Quinn was on the screen, because that is not...
How similar is Quinn to Quinn?
No, absolutely not.
Not at all.
Not at all.
Quinn is very such a funny character. Yeah, they give her so many hilarious lines.
She's very similar to like a lot of the like popular girls I went to high school with, because like the popular girls are like... I went to high school with a lot of people whose parents were lawyers and doctors. So like it is like honestly like very specifically like, yeah, that's like a girl I went to high school with, which is very... Yeah,
I know that girl.
Yeah, it's like I know that girl exactly. And I can probably show you like 12 of them. But yeah, it was definitely interesting. So that was all about the first episode. But I liked the second episode a little bit more, I think. I thought it went more in depth into Jane. I thought it was just generally like more fleshed out, which makes sense because it's in the last season of the show. But can you give us a brief overview of what this episode's about and maybe why you picked it?
Sure. So this is one of the few episodes that really focuses on Jane, and like the main plot is about her. One of the interesting things about Jane and her brother Trent is that we don't see a lot of their family through the series, because their parents are sort of these artist weirdos who are always out having adventures, traveling the world. They have multiple siblings who are also kind of the same deal. Like they're just out in the world doing weird artsy shit. And it's only occasionally that they come back to the family home. And in this episode, I actually forget exactly what results in the destruction of the family gazebo, but the gazebo out back of their house is destroyed, and Jane feels that probably her parents will be upset about this, and so she needs to make enough money to have it rebuilt. And so she goes ahead with an offer she's received to, instead of doing her original art that she loves to do, to start doing copies of famous paintings by people like Van Gogh. And the dealer who she is doing these paintings for will sell them, and she'll get a commission on the paintings, which is how she's going to be able to afford this gazebo. And I find this episode really fascinating as someone who makes art. Like, I'm a writer and I make music and various things. And I think that this episode really points out the ways that, like, if you are forced to make your art, or if you have to make art in a style that is not your style, or even if you have some kind of boss in the making of your art, it can really limit your ability to like find pleasure in that art and do your own thing. And throughout this episode, we see Jane like really starting to get burned out on painting these in the style ofs, and starting to lose interest in doing art in general. And it's kind of this debate between like idealism and like cynicism and practicality, which is like a big theme of this show, is kind of that duality. And ultimately, she decides, after she like manages to pay off the gazebo, that like her own art is very important to her, and she doesn't want to hate doing art. So she doesn't want to keep doing this art that is just bringing in the money. But I think it's such an interesting episode because it's just a microcosm of so many conversations that are being had all the time about art under capitalism.
Yeah, that was the thing that stuck out to me about this episode too, this conflict between making the art that makes money and making the art that she's passionate about. And I wanted to ask you, like, how has making money for your own art and your own creative work, your books, your, you know, the advertising that you do on your blog and other places, how has that affected the art for you and how it feels to make it? And are there creative pursuits that you do just for the love of them that you don't want to make money from?
I think that when you're a teenager, or when you're kind of like new to this conversation, it's very easy to take a hard line on it. Like, I was very much the type of teenager who was like, I never want to get an office job. And if I ever do, then I'll know that I've failed as a person. And all I want to do is pursue my art, and anything less than that would not be within my ethics and my integrity, blah, blah, blah. And I just have a
Don't
more evolved.
Be a sellout.
Exactly. I had seen Rent too many times, you know?
Right.
But I really, my perspective has evolved on that, because we do live under capitalism. That's just the reality of the world. And so I make the bulk of my money from doing stuff that isn't very artistically fulfilling. I do find it interesting to write about sex toys and to write about products I've tried, which is how I make most of my money. But it's not where my heart truly, truly is. But I view it as, in some ways, a necessary evil, and in some other ways, like a privilege, because there are lots of people who have to do a lot worse jobs that will suck the soul out of you a lot worse. But yeah, I think that being an artist in this age of any kind really requires you to make those types of concessions, unless you like have a trust fund, basically.
Right. Yeah.
And I think that this episode sort of shows a lot of arguments on both sides of that discussion in interesting ways.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because the person who came up to her to like make the replicas did it because he saw her work of Van Gogh's painting that she had replicated and then flipped upside down as like a statement, and like clearly as like she had artistic intention behind it. And then for him to just come and be like, oh, you did a good job replicating this, so I'm going to exploit you for that, was very interesting. And like, I don't know, like I'm not in an artistic profession to like most degrees. And I don't know. It's just very interesting. Like I can't even really imagine being in an artistic profession, because I feel like it would be so like demoralizing to have art taken away from me. And like to be like doing it for money seems like I'm not like against anyone selling their art for money or whatever. And I also don't make art really. But I don't know. It's just very interesting. Like the whole like business and like career side of art is very interesting to me. And like the connection between the art that someone makes for profit exclusively, basically, and the artist is very, it's a very interesting relationship.
So Sid, you're saying you're launching your NFT collection
this
week? I am.
Yes, I am. It's going to be great. I'm just going to just pictures of cats.
Incredible. That sounds great. Millions of dollars coming your way.
And that's definitely never been done before.
on the flip side, like since this is your crush, and I know you've had crushes on and relationships with artists in the past, I'd love to hear a little bit about your thoughts on that. Like, what's it like having a crush or dating an artist? And have you ever bought art from your crush?
That's interesting. Actually, the first person I ever dated who I had a very, very intense crush on before and during our brief relationship just put out a children's book recently.
Ooh.
Of which they wrote and did illustrations. That book is The Wolf Suit by Sid Sharp. It's beautiful. And like, yeah, I do basically like try to support artists who I like, including artists I have crushes on. Like, I just like supporting art in general. Sorry, what was the first part of your question?
What's it like having a crush on an artist?
Oh, yeah. I know this is something we've talked about because like when I was younger, I always envisioned that like the person I would quote unquote end up with or marry or whatever would be some kind of creative person, like maybe an actor or an artist or a writer like me or whatever. And you are an app developer, but I think crucially, you kind of have the brain of an artist in many ways. Like you're very interested in art. You look at art in a way that is very creative and interesting to me. You have a great appreciation and esteem for a lot of different kinds of art. And it's really kind of made me reflect on like, I think that wanting to be with an artist was just sort of this like surface level cosmetic thing. And like what I actually really wanted was to be with someone who could understand and relate to the way that I think about the world and the way that I do my own art and appreciate my art as well. And I think that you do all of those things, and most of the people I'm attracted to do all of those things. And I'm not quite so far on the side of like everybody I associate with has to be a free-spirited artist. Like I just don't see it in that black and white terms anymore.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you. That was a lot of really nice things to say about me. But I'm right there with you. I think like a lot of my early crushes were people who were very public about making creative stuff, or like actors and singers and stuff like that. And as I've grown up, I've started to appreciate other ways of thinking, other ways of being attractive and creative. And I agree that like dating someone that appreciates art and can speak about it and like has creative pursuits, even if they're not art, you know, something that they love to do that that involves some form of pushing themselves or creating is important to me. But, you know, the actual label of capital A artist is less important than it used to be.
Yeah, definitely. I also feel like I was very drawn to artists when I was in like high school. I feel like a lot of the people who I had crushes on in high school were like art kids, and like even into college were kids who were like visual artists or musicians. And it's definitely something that like I want someone who can appreciate those things and who can like, who shows me that they like, I feel like so much about being an artist is having the language to like, those people almost automatically have the language to talk about art because they make it. And people who aren't artists, you have to work to have that language sometimes. And I think it's so much more about being able to have that language and be able to have those conversations about art than it is if you actually, again, create capital A art. Like, if you don't paint, then like, that's fine. But like, I still want to be able to talk to you about like, go to the art museum or like, go watch a play and like, have a deeper conversation.
Totally. Okay. Well, I think the moment of truth has arrived. So I can tell you that our relationship would allow it. So we can leave out that part of the question that we normally put in there. But assuming the ages were all good and you were in the same city and Jane Lane was by, would you want to date, hook up with, befriend Jane Lane?
All of the above, baby. Like, she's so cool. It's actually pretty rare that I'm attracted to women. Like, I'm much more often attracted to men and non-binary people for whatever reason. But I just find something so, I don't know, engrossing about Jane. Like, I just think she's so charismatic. Like, funny is a huge thing for me. I think funny is like the main driving force between a lot of my attractions, and she's just like devastatingly funny. And she's just like confident and hot, and I don't know like what her kinks would be, because that would definitely matter to me, but I think broadly speaking, I would love to be whatever she would want me to be in her life.
Yeah, she seems like a more on the dominant side of things to me.
I hope maybe, so.
you know, a teasing kind of sarcastic dominance. That's what I would guess.
Yeah.
Alrighty. So if you've listened to our podcast before, you know that we bring some amazing cosplayers pictures in, and we talk about different cosplays of the characters. So we have three different cosplays of Jane Lane. And all right, so I'm gonna send the first one.
Just looking for your honest reactions. Obviously, we know that cosplay is a lot of work, and so we're not gonna be mean to the cosplayers. Nice only.
Yeah.
Oh shit. Wow. That's good. This person's pretty. Whoa. I think that this person is almost too pretty. Like, I know that Jane wears lipstick, but I always saw her as someone who probably, other than that, doesn't wear very much makeup. And I think this person has, like, done a really sort of almost high femme Jane. It looks great. If I saw this person at a conference, I would definitely want to go talk to them and be like, hey, you're my favorite character. Maybe we should hook up or something.
Hook up.
Yeah, but I think that there's something about this take on Jane that's like more femme somehow mm-hmm. than how I actually see Jane in my head. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. I think they definitely look more femme. And I don't know, like more like polished. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah, I love the lipstick though. Like the lipstick, like I feel like the lines are so sharp. Like it looks
it's
so
spot on.
Yes.
It's yeah. amazing.
This one was Box Turtle cosplay, which I think that account is not online anymore.
Yeah.
But this is a great representation. Love the jacket. Love how like this cosplayer's face shape with like their chin mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. matches the character's face shape. Like mm-hmm. picked a really good character for your bone structure.
Yep.
Alrighty, so I'm gonna send the next one, and this is by Night Winging It Solo is the person who's doing Jane. And it's a picture of Jane, someone dressed as Jane and someone else dressed as Daria.
This is great. Yeah, this person has that sort of angsty, I don't care vibe that Jane has a lot of the time. It looks like they've chosen to do Is that shorts? It's hard to tell. I guess shorts advertised. Yeah. They've chosen to go not with the traditional Doc Martens, but with a different boot, which is kind of cool. Like, I don't know if Jane would do Doc Martens, like actual ones, because maybe she's more anti-establishment than that, and maybe she would want like a smaller brand that's not as well known. But yeah, this person has swagger. Like, this is definitely kind of the attitude I associate with Jane, is just like cool, confident, doesn't give a shit.
I like the choice of the like more casual artist shirt than the like jacket too. It feels like the Jane in the studio working on things kind of look.
Yeah, like she doesn't mind if she's gonna get paint all over this look, but also it has to look nice. Like, that's very Jane.
All right, and then here is the last one.
Ooh, cute.
Yeah,
I like this. Yeah, it's sort of, it's hard to tell from the cartoon whether the red thing over top is like a shirt or a jacket. And I always interpret it as probably just an unbuttoned button-up shirt. But I like the choice to make it a blazer. I think that that's like a bolder and queerer looking choice in many ways.
I was viewing it as a blazer for sure. I'm team blazer.
Okay, yeah. Interesting.
I love the hair in this one. I feel like this cosplayer really utilized her hair texture to like make the shape pretty. Like, obviously it's not as angular, but I really liked the hair on this one. That was the first thing that I noticed. And
I like a little bit of the glitter on the lip too, even though you don't get that three dimensionality in the cartoon. Yeah. I like a little bit of shine on the lip is cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. These are all great. I love them.
Yeah. I loved looking through them. I feel like this one is a very fun one to look for cosplays of. Like, I feel like her style is so specific because she's a cartoon character. So there's not much like variance on the style, but like even like within these three, there's still so much variance between the three, which is crazy.
Mm-hmm. Every time I look at these, I'm always just like, can I just look like Jane all the time though? Like, I really feel like I'm just like moving more and more toward just being Jane Lane aesthetically.
Yeah. Well, could we include a photo of you cosplaying or dressing up as Jane in show notes for folks who want to see it?
I literally have spent the like 45 minutes before we started recording trying to find a photo of that, and I don't know where the fuck it is. Why wouldn't I have posted that? I must have. I don't know the right keywords to look for. I will send it to you. But awesome. I know that I had a wig, which I gave a haircut to look more like. Wow. Yeah. And I went and thrifted all the components of the outfit, and she's fun to dress up as.
Well, maybe you'll just have to do it again.
Possibly, yeah.
Thank you so much for being on the show, Kate. It's always, always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. You can find out more about Kate at katesloan.com or follow her on Twitter and Instagram at girly_juice.
And you can find more episodes of this show at absolutelycrushed.com or wherever fine podcasts are downloaded. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at crushedpod for even more crushy content.
Sid, before we go, who is your crush and where can folks find you online?
All right. So my crush this week is Alton Brown.
Extreme Republican.
Really? Is he really? This is depressing. So we've been watching watching a lot of Cutthroat Kitchen. It's been our turn on in the background show. I've had a really bad track record with picking people based on their political views.
Your crush star is not politically tuned.
Not great at that. But he's very, like, he dresses very nicely. Like, he has a very good style. I grew up watching Good Eats, so I've always had this, like, you know, like, He's just been a man in my life, my entire life. But yeah, so I'm going to go
with Alton. He's good at washing his hands. I'll give him that. He did a good video during the pandemic on washing hands. I'll give him that.
He did. But I'm now very sad to hear that he's an extreme Republican. Bummer. Yeah. All right. And my Instagram and Twitter are both Sid_Anderson. And that is all from me. What about you, Matt? Who's your crush and where's your stuff on the internet?
To balance out the political energy, my crush is also somewhat of a flex. You'll have to forgive me, but Rivka Reyes, the bassist, the actor who plays the bassist in School of Rock,
okay,
a they she icon. recently followed me on Twitter, and I was like, oh, well, I had a crush, and now it's just gotten highly intensified, and I feel like I can't tweet anything ever. So
wow.
That is who's been taking up my brain space crush wise.
That is a childhood dream unlocked.
Exactly. I've been Matthew Bischoff. I'm on Twitter at MB, on Instagram at Matt B. And that is our show as well as our season. This was the season finale of Absolutely Crushed. Until next time, whenever that may be, stay crushing.